The passages we read this morning, specifically from the Psalm and from the passage in Luke's Gospel, are passages of protection, about God's overwhelming love for us and God's desire to protect us and keep us from harm. If you've been paying any attention at all to the news over the last couple of days, you have heard of the horrific attack that occurred in Christchurch, New Zealand. A gunman entered a mosque and with deadly precision opened fire with assault weapons, killing individuals, Muslims, as they worshipped during Friday prayers. It's a crime born of hate, ignorance, and fear. And 50 people have died as a result of one man's actions, and another 40 are recovering from injuries. A nation is mourning, and around the world we look on with shock and with horror, wondering what we can do and if it will happen here next. And of course, it has already happened in Canada. 2 years ago, Muslim worshippers in the St. Foy neighborhood of Quebec City were attacked. 6 people died, 19 were injured. This level of violence disturbs us, and it should. As Christians, we are people of peace. We don't seek violence. Today, we are able to gather and worship, and we are thankful that we can do so in peace. But Christians, of course, are not immune from attack. Christians have been attacked while worshiping in various places around the world. There have been attacks on Christians in the United States. And I'd be lying to you if I said that there wasn't, at the very back of my mind, the fear that one day someone might kick those doors down and change all of our lives. It seems that when you try to preach peace, when you try to worship God, that somehow a target is placed over you. And it's a sad state of affairs that the world finds itself in today. We are at a loss to determine how to overcome the violence and the hatred, the bigotry and the ignorance that prevails. All we know is that the actions we witness are wrong. As Christians, we are called away from violence and towards love. And we don't need to look very hard to find that example. It's embodied in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And yes, sometimes as Christians and sometimes as the church, we get it wrong. Sometimes horribly so. And some Christians do have hate in their heart. Throughout history, we have conquered in the name of Christ. Today, I would argue that we recognize this as wrong, as the antithesis of what Christ came to teach. In his book, Saved from Sacrifice, Mark Heim writes about how Jesus came to break cycles of violence, that the themes of sacrifice that we read about in the Old Testament were meant to end with Jesus. Jesus was to be the ultimate scapegoat, the ultimate sacrifice that would break the need for further sacrifices. And we clearly have a long way to go, but the example is there before us. It always has been. We as human beings simply haven't been able to see beyond our own hurts, our own egos, to recognize the better way that is before us. Pastor Carrie Newhoff of the Connexus Church in Barrie writes, "This is the time to be the church, because what Christians have to offer is a radically different ethic and alternative to hatred and violence. The gospel is a needed ethic in our culture, and it's being lost in the noise. We need to keep being Christian, which means we need to continue to love with all of our hearts, mind, strength, and souls. And I believe love is the only thing that keeps the darkness at bay, that love is indeed the light that we are called to bring forth into the world. And Jesus knew what it was to bring light into dark places. In the passage from Luke, which I read this morning, Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. He was warned off by the Pharisees. "Don't go," they said. "Herod is looking for you and he wants to kill you." Herod, who has already arrested and executed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. But Jesus has no time for that fox. And it's interesting language Jesus uses, calling Herod a fox, and then using the imagery of a hen protecting her chicks. In his commentary on Luke, N.T. Wright puts it this way. He says, "Fire is as terrifying to trapped animals as to people, if not more so. When a farmyard catches fire, the animals try to escape. But if they cannot, some species have developed ways of protecting their young. The picture here is of a hen gathering her chicks under her wings to protect them. There are stories of exactly this. After a farmyard fire, those cleaning up have found a dead hen, scorched and blackened, with live chicks sheltering under her wings. She was quite literally given her life to save them." It is a vivid and violent image of what Jesus declared that he longed to do for Jerusalem, and by implication for all of Israel and for us. Jerusalem is where Jesus will go. And Jesus knows that this is where he is to go and this is where he will die. And he is doing this to break through the cycles of violence, to demonstrate that they don't work, that they just breed more hatred and more violence. That through his death and his resurrection, violence and sacrifice are not the way. That we are promised something greater. If only we'll stop and see with clear eyes. His destiny then is to go to Jerusalem and die, risking the threats of the fox and adopting the role of the mother hen to the chickens faced with sudden danger. It is an image which is both fierce and vulnerable. And the image holds together the tension of the prophetic tradition, all while pointing towards the crucified Christ. Herod might be described as a clever little fox, but we remember that it is God who is in charge. And our passage from Luke reminds us of God's divine will and the prophet's role in that. And we should also remember that the rejection of the prophet by Jerusalem was a part of the Jewish tradition. It is not an invitation to read anti-Semitism into the passage. We say that Lent is a time of reflection, a time of preparation. We use it to prepare ourselves spiritually, mentally, and emotionally for Holy Week, to deal with the events of Jesus' death and subsequent resurrection. As a result, it can be a dark time of year. To be sure, Lent is not a cheery holiday in the Christian calendar. When we consider the attack in Christchurch and other acts of violence that occur daily around the world, we are disturbed. That worshipers, even those of a different faith, would be attacked with such indifference disturbs us. And we should ask questions of ourselves, our faith, and the society that we are all a part of. How? Why do these attacks happen? How can we participate in stopping them? Jesus shows a way that no matter the cost, no matter the obstacle, hell or high water, Jesus will go to Jerusalem to demonstrate a path of passivity, of love, of a sacrifice born of love. And there he will face the fate that so many in the prophetic tradition faced. But this time, it's different. Because Jesus is no mere prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And Jesus does all of this out of love for us. And not just us, but all of us, all of creation, all the people around this world. Jesus does this because God knows that violence isn't the answer. Violence tears us apart. It does not build us up. It does not repair. Only love repairs us. During the early days of the civil rights movement in the United States, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke these words: "We must love our white brothers no matter what they do to us. We must make them know that we love them." Jesus still cries out in word that echoes across the centuries: "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you." We must meet hate with love. I believe it comes down to the love that God has for us. Do we have the courage to respond with that same love? To respond with an ethic of love rooted in the relationship we have with God, who is our Creator? Can we love that deeply? Can we love when we are hurt? Can we love in the face of anger and violence? Jesus knew where he was going. He knew where that destination would take him. Jesus also believed it would result in something new being created, that it would demonstrate a love that the world had never seen before. Do we believe enough in that love that we are willing to follow? Amen.